The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Fills the air, guiding my journey home. Where is the path beyond the forest? Where is the song I always knew? I remember it just around the bend in the village. The music never ends in a circle of friends, in a circle of sound. All our will blend when we touch common ground. Where is the melody we need? There is a certain harmony, even a rhythm in the trees, in the song that we've always known. As every road comes to its end, cross again. Now I'm returning to my heart, back to the song that is our own. In a circle of friends, in a circle of sound, all our voices will blend when we touch common
to Sunday worship with the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are a principle-based, truth-seeking, justice-seeking, welcoming faith community. We're in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, on the web at tpuuf.org, on social media, and wherever you may be this blessedly cool first morning of August. We extend a special welcome to anyone visiting us for the first or the second time, or for the first time in a long time. If you're not already or not still connected with us, we invite you to fill out our virtual visitor's card. You'll find a link to that card in our Zoom chat box. Filling out the card affords you the opportunity to become more aware of our programs and activities here at the Thomas Paine UU Fellowship. I'm Jerry Lazzaro. I chair the worship committee here at the Thomas Paine Fellowship. And on behalf of the fellowship, I want you to know that whoever you are, from wherever you've come, wherever you may be on your life's journey, whatever you must in conscience truly, responsibly believe, whatever your gender or how you identify or express your gender, whomever you love, whoever loves you, we welcome you into this ever-widening circle of love, compassion, justice, and peace. And speaking of peace, our service this morning, led by Jim Scott, is titled Toward a Culture of Peace. Jim is no stranger to the larger UU faith community or to us here at the Thomas Paine UU Fellowship. He's without a doubt one of the most accomplished and acclaimed UU troubadours, one of the singer-songwriters whose music makes our faith more accessible and inspires us to greater heights of spiritual awakening, compassion, and social action. Jim graced us with a sample of his artistry in our prelude this morning, Common Ground. For over 35 years, Jim has created and performed music promoting ecology, justice, and peace, touching hearts and minds with intelligent lyrics, his own brand of harmony, and his virtuoso guitar technique. His music transcends boundaries of and categories, spanning jazz, classical, folk, and popular music. And his music appears in both our hymn books, Singing the Living Tradition and Singing the Journey. Jim has appeared in solo and ensemble performances across the United States and around the world, including appearances at over 500 Unitarian Universalist congregations. And many of you with us this morning may recall that in 2016, Jim became part of the history of our fellowship when he helped us celebrate our 50th anniversary, performing in concert and leading a worship service here. So, Jim, welcome back to Thomas Paine. And I'll turn our virtual pulpit over to you to commence worship with opening words and the lighting of our chalice, the symbol of our UU faith.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. And just one little correction would be, I keep on collecting those churches. I've been to well over 700 churches now. I think that's more than anybody. I talked to some other people who have 500 or 600. I wasn't counting until I found out other people are counting. John Buren says he's been to 600. So, spirit beyond all names, beyond all image and identity, know us here and feel our intention and let our presence on this earth be healing. I have a little poem I'd like to read as we light the chalice. And maybe as we go on, a little explanation of the poem. Who will speak for our ancestors? What physician do we have in our midst to trust with surgery on our Mother Earth? What politician anesthetist will we trust to control the valves attached to her veins? Who will understand our relatives and their delicate balance, keeping us alive, are not weighed against efficiency? And who shall we trust to decide what is cost effective when our lives hang in the balance? Will it be the one with the vehicle for escape waiting nearby who converses in terms of multiple use, acceptable risk, economy versus preservation? Who will defend the water purifying beings in rivers, oceans, and wetlands? Someone who sees borders between countries? Who will defend the diversity of all species? The one who exhorts property rights? The one who won't open the doors of the United Nations to indigenous people? The one who is saved? Who will speak for our ancestors? Who will listen for the echoes of their footsteps in the ocean waves and their tears in the rain? And who will speak for our Mother Earth? Who will hear her breath on the wind, her pulse in the night and day, and understand her needs? We light this chalice with a flame, and my apologies. I hope we have another. We have a different figurative chalice, and you have another name for it. Your special name is, I forgot, is the. Oh boy, but we will light our figurative chalice. We light a chalice with a flame. It's symbolic of our free faith. It's symbolic of our free search for faith. Our free lack of faith, as some have put it, and we find it in all kinds of, we give it all kinds of descriptions. On another weekend, I can promise you another Sunday, it'll have an entirely different connotation. But for me today, it says, the earth is a vessel, sailing on with a fire in its heart. The inside of the earth, someone told me, I believe it was on NPR, is virtually as hot as the sun. Now, if it's that hot on the inside, where are the flames on the outside? Well, we must be them, aside from the occasional volcano. We are that energy force burning, oxidizing all of life on Earth.
before we do the gathering song, we're going to have Preston Lutwider light our peace lamp.
After I light the peace lamp, your response will be, and with all the people of the world. May peace be with us and with all the people of the world.
So we are that flame that that we refer to, I guess, that flame of life. And that flame, we could call it peace, we could call it health, we could call it maybe God or the goddess or the force, if you saw those movies, or maybe it's spirit. And I like this word, spirit. And I have a song about it. It's number 347 in our hymn books. Gather the spirit, harvest the power. Our separate fires will kindle one flame. Witness the mystery of this hour. Our trials in this light appear all the same. Gather in peace, gather in thanks, gather in sympathy now and then. Gather in hope, compassion and strength. Gather to celebrate once again. Gather the spirit of heart and mind, seeds for the sowing are laid in store, nurtured in love. Gathered again in that dangerous bastion, the church that threatens family values, the church that wants to undermine the authority of the Father, the church that has half forgotten the Creator in its pagan worshiping of the creation, the church that those right-wing radio ministries have warned us about. This church of bleeding heart liberalism, some thinly veiled front for leftist politics, of homosexual propaganda. I like it here. The church that assures you you won't be going to hell no matter what you do in this life, and the church that often leaves the first few pews open for the diversity we're sure is going to show up. We're open to it. The church of practicing witches, whose very assertion they don't believe in any devil, confirms they must be accomplishing some of his work. And the church that sings carefully, not sure if there are any words we can totally subscribe to and not be questioning ourselves tomorrow or in the next worship committee meeting. The church that is not sure if there is in fact anything we can celebrate with that passion and abandon those other churches hold for Jesus, the Savior, Son of God, the Father, although something lurks in us, we might be missing out on some of their fun. It is that search for ecstasy, enlightenment, and other things, including free coffee, which is often the only thing whose origins we don't question, that brings us together. This is my church, and I'm a zealot. This is the church that says to everyone, you're not only welcome, but we need you and your creative input in our continuing, dynamic, and evolving culture. Diversity is a strength, a survival mechanism we believe in. We face the challenge of weighing new and ancient wisdom in our search for guidance in this life, as well as the continuing creation of our own mythology. It's not an easy job, and we come together in meetings like this to offer each other ourselves for sustenance. Well, we are anti, I can't even come up with the words this morning, anti-sexist, anti-gender, anti all this other stuff. And we also are not ageist. Songs for all ages turn out to be perfectly safe for grown-ups as well as kids. I have a little song that I made with a second grade class. And they told me all about the rainforest, and they knew all about it, of course. So we get a big piece of paper and a magic marker. We brainstorm up all the ideas, everything we know about the rainforest, and see what rhymes and what goes together. So they told me about the animals. There's a lot of animals in the song. And they told me about the four levels of the rainforest. Now, I just was in Costa Rica for 2 weeks, and it got me to live down a little thing that happened. Some friends yelled out from a concert in Missouri a year or two ago, we were just in Costa Rica, and we asked them, do you know the four levels of the rainforest? And they said, what? So, I finally got to visit the tropical rainforest, though I spent many years in the temperate rainforests of Oregon. The tropical rainforest has some animals that are a little more exotic. I found no one who knew what the four levels were. But once they know my song, they'll know. It's in a book. So the four levels go by fast, and then we see how they all go together. On the ground level, turtles and leopards and snakes live in the shelter the understory makes. The ground is so soft, and the air is so clear, with 300 inches of rain every year. Oh, let the rain feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. Does that sound like a participatory chorus to you? With four notes, oh, let the rain, you can sing it, feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life, sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. And down in the ground,
worms and the ants. Nurture the roots of the flowering plants. And up in the canopy, life is a breeze. Orangutans swing from the limbs of the trees. Oh, let the rain feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. Now, while some of us sing that part, we need some others of us to sing another part that goes, rain come down, rain. Rain come down, if you got a higher voice, rain come down. Oh, let the rain feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. Third verse, high up above, where the toucans fly, emergent treetops reach into the sky. There's more kinds of plants than anyone knows. Look out, there's a swamp hanging by her three toes. Oh, let the rain feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. And about this point, I warned you, here's the pop quiz. What were those four levels in the rainforest? They went by fast. But there's the understory, all the stuff that likes to grow in the shade of the canopy. And below all that, the ground level. I might have made the underground a level if it were up to me, but it wasn't. So the ground level and the understory and the canopy, and then the tallest, biggest old trees stick way up above the canopy sometimes. That's called the emergent level, a whole different habitat where there's some things that live up there that never come down to the ground. So that's the four levels. This is my musical memory device. There's the understory, the understory. If you got a low voice, be the understory. Understory and the ground level. The ground level. You can be the ground level. Shows me is that all these things are happening on all different levels. All of life goes together up in the air, down in the ground, down in the water, all around us are all these things that are working together to keep us going. When we talk about saving the earth has had beings here that are no longer here, and the earth keeps going. We don't want to be like the dinosaurs. There's a famous song, which I will not sing for you. Their brains were small and they died, which kind of sums it up. We got to get smart about this. If we can't even get people to embrace getting a vaccination to stop infecting themselves and others,
and they think the election was stolen or whatever else. We got a whole big job of education to do, and we can't be afraid of it. We got to try to teach and heal this world. Some of us do that well. Every church I visit, I meet incredible activists. And there are some of us who are intimidated or what's the word, just discouraged or other things. It's too big a job. But we just start where we are and we talk to our friends and we try to make changes in our own life. And that is part of the sermon I'm going to say a little later, that is how to make peace and all. I wrote a little story a while back. I was in my garden. I'll explain about the garden in the story. More garden, less lawn to mow. That's the way it works. On the day we now call the attack on America, or know by its cryptic numerals 9/11, my garden yielded up corn and beans and cucumbers, eggplant. Persistent and unjudgmental as the sun that follows a storm, this orchard and garden is often my asylum. And I find rooting in the soil to be a fitting response in troubled times. Blanketed by winter snows, it still makes a soothing labyrinth for meditative walk. Now seasons of bloom and fruit have come and gone again, while the perpetrators long since identified still haunt our collective soul. Immersed, though, in this lush and healing context, I find myself imagining the conversation I might have had with Osama bin Laden. I picture he could have been a farmer, a rich one, if given the chance. He'd probably see my abundance as the spoils of evil powers. Or maybe I'd just be a peasant in the eyes of such an extraordinarily rich man turned international criminal. I dream, though, we could talk about injustice and struggle for equality in this sanctuary I fashioned by my own hands. As the dog runs circles in her yard nearby, I would speak for nonviolence. He would have to educate me as to the oppression of his people and no doubt make the case for revolution. Now, some may take offense at my attempt to even humanize such a monster. The most disturbing part to reconcile, I think, is that he at least saw himself as a deeply religious man. I offer no defense for his actions, but world leaders have long sent young people into battle to kill, convinced of their justification. And some perverse version of Muslim cult holds no monopoly on vengeance as policy. Perhaps it is not to the hardened criminal blinded by hate that I speak. I imagine listening to the anger and the accusations of all the people he claimed to represent here in my tranquil garden. Among apple, peach, and cherry trees, there would be enough beauty and serenity all about us to keep us engaged. In the company of swelling pumpkins or savoring a fresh tomato, we might talk of the horrors of war. Amid roses and fragrant herbs, we might consider what he could possibly hope to accomplish for his people through such violence. There is, I suppose, no real place for negotiation with the perpetrators of such crimes. Mr. bin Laden, or whoever it is like him, would argue there is no negotiating with the evil US and the morally corrupt Western powers. Under the grape arbor, we might argue and disagree and yet still be able to continue. I'm afraid there just might not be enough magic here, enough aura of harmony to keep our arguments constructive. It's not a large enough sanctuary to hold our dialogue in its energy field. One could easily run off in a fit of anger across the road, past the picket fence fortresses of the middle class, out to the highway in the city, where bastions of excess and consumption are monuments to a society dangerously out of balance with itself and the earth. It will take a bigger garden, a larger and more inclusive sanctuary where time is suspended for depth of reflection. I pray for that garden of all the earth where all are included, between a quiet where one might speak and be heard, and the sustenance of food, fresh air, and natural systems busy in their harmony of symphonic proportions. Only then might our dialogue really take root. I don't need my glasses for this. In 1986, some of us are old enough to remember, 650 people marched across, walked across the United States. It was called the Great Peace March, from Los Angeles to New York, and took a right, as it was in those days, down to Washington, D.C. It took 9 months. The major networks almost never mentioned it. Wouldn't you think we'd like to hear some good news like that? Well, I was so blown away by this, I wanted to go on it and figured it. I just decided I couldn't figure out how to afford it to go on it, but I learned after that I might have been able to afford it. I did visit the walk a number of times and played, and got to play with Peter Yarrow and with Pete Seeger and Holly Near and Odetta and other folks at different times along the walk. And just a memorable concert with the week before the end at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. A couple more days walk to Washington, D.C. Peter Yarrow organized a concert that had Pete Seeger and Tom Chapin and all these people I just mentioned. It was amazing to be, and I got to be part of it. I sat in one of the little folding chairs along in a semicircle with all these folks, and we each got up and sang a song. And that's the way the concert went. Totally organic and democratic. There were two concerts, in fact. The first one to raise money, and the second one for supposedly for the peace marchers. But the first audience wouldn't leave. And there was no security for this concert. There was only a maintenance guy that had opened up the hall. And Peter Yarrow begged everybody, please move back and let the peace marchers come up front. So we did a second concert. And everybody did different songs, because if you get to be with Pete Seeger or Peter Yarrow or something, you want them to hear another song of yours. So we sang all this different stuff. And it went on till after midnight. The next morning, though, on a cold Baltimore morning, November, I walked with the Peace Walk. Now, when you're walking down the street, 650 peace marchers joined by at least 1,000 or more locals, you don't all sing the same song. You're stretched out half a mile down the street. So this group in front of me is singing Beatles songs, and the group behind us is beating little drums and singing Tibetan chants. And the group that I was with kind of exhausted our peace songs we could think of. And I came up with this little mantra. This made it into our gray hymn book. It's a round. And the hymn book committee wanted rounds, so it's in there. Not the verses, just the chorus. It goes like this. Nothing but peace is enough for me. Nothing but peace is enough. Nothing but peace is enough. Nothing but peace is enough for me. The chorus. Nothing but peace is enough for me. Nothing but peace is enough. Nothing but peace is enough. Nothing but peace is enough for me. So put the four B's on the first and fourth phrases, and we have an off single line. And now I want you to sing it back, okay? Nothing but peace is stay down where we were on enough. And you can sing bass. Nothing but peace. Any octave is politically correct. And the last phrase, nothing but peace is enough for me. That overlaps a little. Here it is again. Nothing but peace is enough for me. Here's the whole thing. Nothing but peace is enough for me. Nothing but peace is enough for me. Well, I'm full of such mixed emotions right now. I got to say it to someone. We've got to do this more than just holidays. Got to be in it for the long run. For the long run. La Shayela Salam, La Shayela Salam. This song has gone to some different countries and been put in some different languages. Rien que la paix qui suffit pour moi. Rien que la paix qui suffit. Frieden allein ist genug für mich. Frieden allein ist genug. Mir tolka mir duje nam si chas. Mir tolka mir duje nam. What language is that? Mir tolka mir duje nam. Hoi! Mir tolka mir duje nam si chas. Russian. So we had, what do we have there? We had, and there's a few more that I can't think of at this moment, but English. Let's try it in English. Around, so nothing but peace is enough. You can start there when other people are singing something else. Is that clear? Nothing but peace is enough for me. Nothing but peace is enough. Nothing but peace is enough for me. Nothing but peace is enough. Nothing but peace is enough. Nothing but peace. I could hear you singing. No, I couldn't. I can see that I have my judge and jury and higher authority over there on the wall. I can see that more time has gone by than I thought. And I'm going to just shorten this. I'm not going to read you this whole sermon thing. Can I just say a few words? So, we have a sixth principle, the principle that says the goal of peace and world community. Now, this doesn't offend me, but I think it falls short. I started a petition years ago, and I carried it around to a lot of churches thinking I'm the traveling guy who could do this. I'll get a petition proposing that we have an eighth principle. Well, now we have an eighth principle. But I thought either we fix the sixth principle or we make an eighth principle. And here's what I was thinking. Peace eludes us because there's the haves and the have-nots. We put all these other things in front of it, like the Catholics and Protestants in Ireland, or, you know, Muslims and Christians in some other place, or was there some kind of religious thing, or maybe it was the civilized people versus the savages, or, you know, there are all these reasons why we needed to have these wars. But really what it is some people want more than their share, and we can't seem to get an equitable distribution going. We can't get an ecology for all of us, a fairness. And A.J. Musty said back, he was back in the 40s, 50s, or earlier, a real sage who helped to with the development of the United Nations and various other things. Amazing guy, Google him. He said, there is no way to peace, but peace is the way. There is no way. We know from the history of wars that yes, one country conquers another, one country shuts up another temporarily, one country devastates another, kills genocide, you know, kills another, and one society kills another. And does it ever solve anything? We know that it doesn't. We know that. How come we can know that and not understand that what it takes is social work? It takes friendship. It takes courage and reaching out, and takes conversation. That's too slow. It's too slow for even the Democratic Party of the United States, who did a big study a few years ago to see how to change people's minds. They had discovered that television ads don't work. They don't work. They don't change anybody's opinion. But when you have people go out, and they did this study in California and some other places, that you go out and send people out to talk to each other. And they talk. And so a woman comes to the door and you know, talks and so on. And then maybe says later in the conversation, says, well, I am a lesbian. So, you know, the way you feel about gay people, you know, this affects me. And or people who even, the two that are coming to me are women's issues, but a woman saying, well, you know, I had an abortion. And how do you, you know, do you judge me? And the people to people, it worked. It had a tremendous effect. It was too slow, and it was going to cost, it was going to mean expending money in different places, and the Democratic Party decided not to do it. I don't think the Republican Party has done a similar study, but they may have. But the idea is, we know what to do, and we don't do it. The way to peace can only be peace, and can only be slow, and trusting, and teaching, and... A Buddhist monk said this. I thought it was Thich Nhat Hanh, but I learned it wasn't. But I wrote it down because I thought it was wonderful. Prayer is part of my daily practice, but I do not believe prayer will bring peace on earth, peaceful society. Thousands of years, we pray, nothing happened. Now we should be realistic. I often tell people, if you have the opportunity to see Buddha or Jesus Christ, tell them to end violence. Ask them, please bring peace on this planet. Then certainly they will say to you, who creates violence? If violence was created by God, then it would be relevant to appeal to God. Stop this, please, I pray. But we created violence. So Jesus and Buddha or any other teachers would tell us, you created the problem. So it's your responsibility to solve this. Don't bother God with your problems. Work hard to solve them. This is where creativity comes in. Creative work might be hard. Good ideas are a dime a dozen. Less good ideas are cheaper. A good idea worked on can truly turn into something. For that matter, so can a less than good idea. Our creativity solves problems. I have a little more to say about creativity later. I'm going to leave it that I hope you will permit a shortened sermon, because I realize the readings that I have put in here were longer than I thought, and I've already preached a lot, and I'm a musician first, I like to think. So we will get back to more music. I believe we're going to have our Matters of the Heart next. Am I reading the...
Yeah, we're going to move forward into Matters of the Heart, so everyone can take a moment to think about briefly a joy that has lifted them up or a sorrow that has been weighing them down. And after Jim provides a musical meditation for us, we'll have a time of sharing. I'll go over the instructions for those who would care to share verbally via Zoom, and we'll also have the option to share via chat. So if you are experiencing something that is lifting you up or weighing you down, but you are not in a position that you care to speak about it, you can put it into chat, and Preston, our chat chaplain, will read out those messages at the end of Matters of the Heart. So Jim, back to you.
While you're thinking, I'll just sing you a little refrain of a song.
With every story told, our friendship becomes art. Each passage of life is a gateway to the heart. We are one in joy and sorrow, and the music of our learning is danced in love and harmony with each day of Earth turning. I'm going to sing it once more. With every story told, our friendship becomes art. Each passage of life is a gateway to the heart. We are one in joy and sorrow, and the music of our learning is danced in love and harmony with each day of Earth's turning.
We'll bring this time of sharing to a close. Ordinarily, we would sing Spirit of Life, but we're going to do things a little bit differently today. We will have Jim lead us in a sung response and meditation.
I'd like to just offer the framework for us to just take a breath together and be quiet together for a moment. I like to do it this way. I'm going to just play a few notes on the guitar and if we might just find that comfortable place to be for a moment, stare off into space or close your eyes, or how you do it, find an image that is relaxing for you. If it's some higher spiritual vision, that's wonderful. Or if it's just, think about a cat on a windowsill. They really know how to relax. And find that place to let your shoulders go and take a breath. Take a breath in and take a breath out, and let that focus on breath be all we want to do for a couple of minutes. I will play just a little bit of music and then let it be silent, and I'll bring us back with actually something to think about. Often it's just instrumental music, but I wrote a new song and I want to share it with you. So let's take a breath and just be comfortable where you are. Find that safe place to be for a moment. And remember, even virtually, we're together. Our intentions are in the same place. Thank you.
soaring beyond doubt over Earth's solemn gravity in noisy migration. Still they long for their rest. Some kissed their wings as they carved the sky eternal, looking to the night where they'll sleep in their nest. Voyagers heed signs written on the wide horizon. From the third dimension, find the secrets they seek. Quest for nobility, sustenance, serenity beckons to the brave as it comforts the meek. See over barriers and borderlines, a bond of all beings, of the earth, land, and sea. Dreaming the world where each life is truly valued, rendering a justice that restores humanity. Moving always just beyond our understanding, in the greater dance, may we each play our part. Spirit of the earth, spirit of the never ending, from a third dimension, seeing straight to the heart. Spirit moving always just beyond our understanding, in the greater dance, may we each play a part. So I thought in that time of meditation that I left out an important punchline of the sermon when I tried to shorten it. I was saying the slow way is talking to each other and reaching out and having the courage to reach across those chasms. And I said that A.J. Musty said, there is no way to peace, but peace is the way. Our sixth principle says the goal of peace, to which some people might say, oh yeah, I'm for that. That's why we got that peacemaker missile. I think we could say there, the way of peace, not the goal of peace. And my thought was, before now we've got an eighth principle of our beloved community, or maybe it's the ninth principle or something, that we keep adding principles, that the non-violent resolution of conflict could be our mantra, could be our priority, so our ideal. So the way to do that is creativity, and I'll mention that I'm leading a camp at Roe Camp and Conference Center. It's a UU conference center in the mountains of Western Massachusetts, beautiful forest. The last couple of days of August, you can look at roecenter.org and see it. If you'd like to come, I'm inviting you. It's called Creativity Camp. And I've taught a course that under the guise of teaching music theory and so on at Oberlin College, I've done it six times. I've taught a winter term course where it's really, the point is creativity, to be prolifically creative. There are so many musicians who are trained in a classical mode, particularly at a place like Oberlin, where, all those
Ivory Tower, places, Eastman School of Music was where I went. And they didn't teach us improvisation. Maybe they do now. I bet they might. But in my era, it was all black dots on a chart. And I wasn't taught creativity other than assignments in exercises of this and that. And popular song, anything like that, writing a song. Oh, we looked down our noses at anything like that there. But what I've come to find in my life now and what I took on, rather than play concert repertoire, to invent my own stuff and to have to write new stuff and to just need to come up with it sometimes, I've immersed myself in a process where I learned about creativity. I taught myself. I gave myself permission, I guess, to be creative. And what I find is this piece of philosophy. I'm sure someone else has written it better, but I say it. Creativity is the alternative to violence. The creativity is the alternative to alienation, to drug dependency, to all the living out of balance ways that for money, drugs, power, sex, anything else, that masks the pain of our being separated from the very stuff, the very balance that will heal us. Creativity puts us back in touch with that creation story that's unfolding right now. And for me, if I would use a term like God, which I'm careful about that, but I find I can have an explanation for it in a way that it's everything. Michael Dowd says, God is reality. If you're out of touch with reality, you're out of touch with God, is the way he puts it. But I'll say God is just everything. It's everything around me. It's everything that is in me and everything that is changing all the time. It's the water cycle, the air, the earth moving. So maybe it's the earth is a goddess, is a deity. I don't exactly go for that, but it's beautiful poetry. Creativity is our healing process. Creativity makes peace. Now, of course, we can create weapons of mass destruction. So I don't mean just creativity, blank check. Creativity with a purpose, creativity with a heart, creativity with an intention and an integrity is what we need. And we all can do it, not just the enlightened, the gifted and talented. We all have a voice and we all have a story to tell. And it is that creation story that needs to be told. I love when we do our joys and concerns or matters of the heart, as we call it here, where we can teach each other, because that's what we come together for. And here's a little song about all of that to say goodbye to our process today. I hope if I've provided anything to think about or to argue with or all that we can continue to discuss that. And I'm sorry that I'm not going to make it to our coffee hour because I have to start driving to another gig. I'll stay just for a minute, but thank you so much for having me today. I'm honored to be with you all again and hope we can get back to your great church building sometime before too long. My wish for you, as now we part, is for greater peace to fill your heart with dreams as vast as starry space. So hurt and anger know no place. May truth be shared and wounds be healed, and joy for living be revealed through every faded circumstance. May hope lead weary steps to dance, and may your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn, to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. Here's the chorus, and may your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn, resounding
dawn to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. Young man, he met a beautiful woman named Love. Now, I'm not really sure who was the man and who was the woman. Maybe they were the same sex. "I'd like to keep you," said Wisdom. "You can't own me," said Love, but I love you anyway. "What would it cost to know you'd always be there?" asked Wisdom. "Don't ask such questions," said Love. "Just look at the stars." "Why?" Wisdom pondered. "Are they telling us something?" "Oh, chill out," chided Love, which made Wisdom happy in a funny sort of way. And so it was that Wisdom fell in love with Love, and thus became truly wise. Let's go in peace. Do join us in a moment for our virtual coffee hour and discussion. Thank you for having me again. Love each other, and may we go in peace.